Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Newport and Tay Church of Scotland. It's me again, same as last week. I am again appealing for help for our welfare tent at Newport Festival, which is Saturday the 22nd of June. We've already got two full slots booked up in the morning, so well done to those who signed up. But there's plenty of spaces left, so don't worry. Like, for example, there's four rolls. We're having two people serving in the tent. We'll just give out juice, water, tea, coffee. There'll be a person in the kitchen getting all the things ready and washing the dishes. Not glamorous, but much needed. And then there's a runner who goes between the kitchen and the serving tent. And don't worry, you don't have to run. It's okay. And it's not far to walk either. So the tent's just going to be outside on our grounds. And you can just walk from the kitchen to there. So if you would like to help on Saturday, 22nd of June, there's spaces from 11 a.m. all the way through to 4:30. Don't worry, there's lots of time. And we're only asking for an hour or two of your time. That's Saturday, 22nd June.
Thank you, Chris. And a warm welcome from me as well to our worship this morning. Whether you're physically gathered together in front of me or behind me or watching elsewhere on Zoom. And I suspect some of you are doing so from the comfort of your own home. Or you may be listening to this service in a few days' time. Welcome. The welcome is extended whether you've been joining with us one way or another over the past few years, or have recently come back to worship with us, or have joined us today for the first time. As you may be aware, the reason I'm conducting the service this morning is because our minister Amos is currently in his homeland of Cameroon with Florence. They're visiting family and endeavouring to resolve some of the documentation issues they are still having while they are out there. The plan is for them to travel back later this week, and all being well, we'll have Amos leading the service next Sunday. But we do have a plan B just in case. Intimations are all contained on the order of service. Please do take time to read them and act accordingly as you feel drawn. Come, celebrate God's creation. We come, created wonderfully by God. Come, ready to hear God's voice. We come with open ears and hearts. Come, whether afflicted, perplexed, or persecuted. We come ready to persevere in our faith. Come to worship the God of light. We come open to the extraordinary power of God. Amen. We may not all be gathered in this same building, but we are all invited to worship together from wherever we are, knowing that God can hear us all and can blend even distant voices into one song of worship. So if you're able, please stand, even if you're at home, as we join together in our first hymn, number 286, Tell Out My Soul the Greatness of the Lord.
Thank you.
Let us pray. We have just sung together a great rousing hymn which encourages us to boldly tell others of the good news, the greatness of your love and care for all. Most wonderful God, we love you because you first loved us. We praise you for the countless blessings of your creation, for your Son Jesus, for all the blessings of salvation, for the gifts of your Spirit, and all the blessings of the new creation. God of unspeakable light and love, all things are full and running over with your glory. Most wise and loving God, you are the one sure source of grace, mercy, and peace. There is much in the things we do and say to give us regret. There is even more in the good things we fail to do to make us want to say sorry. Yet, we confess we are often inclined to say sorry too glibly, and we treat mercy and forgiveness as a formality. In our better moments, we know that such shallow religion will not do. Today, we come seeking something deeper and more radical. You, saving God, know how things stand for each of us here this day. You know of our hard-won achievements and our virtues. You also know our lapsed good intentions, our blundering escapades, our broken promises, and our petty ways. You see both the large picture of evil and even the smallest detail pertaining to each individual one of us. Most wonderful God, may your saving love never cease to amaze us, your forgiveness never fail to touch the darkest corners of our heart and mind, and your empowerment always be our hope and our joy. Through Christ Jesus, our Saviour, who taught us to pray together with those familiar words, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. I usually manage to inflict a new hymn on you, and this Sunday, I'm afraid, is no different. The words of our next hymn reflect a theme of today's service, the Sabbath. Words are in the order service. They're obviously also projected behind me. But don't worry, the tune is well known. The words, though, are not. O day of rest and gladness. Now, time, it says children's talk. I can see one. Come on, Ariel. You know I won't bite. I've had my breakfast. And here's Anna Daniel coming too. A wee seat with Ariel. That's it. Okay. I want to have a wee think about rules. Now, you've probably got some rules in the house, do you? Like, keep your room tidy and help with some meals. Help look after wee sister. Oh, my dad are away. It's okay, Gran's here. She's helping look after you. And what about at school? Have you got some rules at school? What do you have? No running in the classroom? That makes perfect sense. Let's have a wee look at some. See what you think of these ones. Raise your hand if you want to speak. Yes. Listen. That's it. You've read it out in your own words. Well done. Be a friend to others. Help clean up. All good ones in school. Are there any silly rules in school? Not really. They might be. Right, I've got one or two wee things here, courtesy of the internet, so I can't totally guarantee accuracy, but I'm fairly sure they're right. See what you think, Ariel. They're all from America, and in a town in Alaska, it's illegal to serve alcohol to a moose. Yeah, that sounds daft, doesn't it? I mean, a bear, you can give it a drink, but not to a moose. City in Arizona, it's illegal to drive a car backwards. So if you park in a space, you can't get out without breaking the law. Town in Minnesota, where a woman can be arrested for impersonating Santa Claus. So it's all right with Mrs. Claus, but she can't be Santa Claus. Oklahoma, if people make ugly faces at dogs, they can be in trouble. I think of some of the dogs that you get, like bulldogs and others, that have not nice looking faces themselves. They get away with it. But we can't make faces at them. West Virginia, a minister's not allowed to tell jokes from the pulpit. I think there's agreement for that one, okay. And in town in Pennsylvania, women need a permit to wear makeup. Yes. Oh, I think there'll be lots of fines going on in this country. Never mind here this morning. Okay, lots of silly laws, laws that are there, but they still have to be followed in one way or another. Now, way back early in the Bible, Moses came down from God with what we call the Ten Commandments, and we know what they were. Honour your mother and father, have only one God. Remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. In other words, have a day of rest at the end of the week, which is fine. But some people, called Pharisees, really lived to the strict letter. So when the commandment says don't do anything on a Sunday, they were expecting people to do nothing on a Sunday. They didn't give a wee bit. And you could walk a short distance, you could worship God, but that was about it. So later on, when Jesus came along, he was getting a wee bit annoyed by these people. And there are a couple of instances we're going to hear about later on. And one of them, he was in a synagogue, in a church, and a man had a deformed hand. And Jesus got the man to stand up. And he said to these Pharisees, okay, it's the Sabbath, but is this a day for doing good? Or is it a day for doing evil, for doing wrong? And they didn't answer him. They couldn't answer him. Because knowing if they said it's a day for doing good, he would do something. And he did. He told the man to stretch out his hand, and his hand was made good. And that upset these Pharisees, because they thought, no, he shouldn't be doing anything. And they got upset, and they eventually went away and met others and thought, this man's getting too powerful. We need to do something about it. How can we stop him? And we know eventually that came round to what happened at Easter time. But what Jesus said was that Sabbath is made for man, not man made for the Sabbath. In other words, we're here to do what we can do, to do good, even on a Sunday, whether it's coming to church, whether it's being at home, whether it's having a bit of time to ourselves. But that's all for the good of God, all for the good of us. So he's perfectly happy with that. Keep that one in mind. I'll just have a quick short prayer. Dear God, we thank you for the Sabbath, whether it be a Saturday, a Sunday, for a day of rest, but a day of recovery. Help us to bring ourselves back to being our usual playful selves, our working selves. And we thank you for looking after each and every one of us. Amen. Okay, thank you both. We're now going to sing a hymn from Junior Praise. We'll sing it through twice. See, we've been talking about hands. It's called Jesus' Hands or Kind Hands, doing good to all.
Our first reading this morning is from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 3, reading from the start of the chapter. Let us hear what the Lord has to say to us today from his holy word. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I didn't call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And our second reading is from Mark's Gospel, reading from chapter 2, verse 23, going on into chapter 3. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the cornfields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some ears of corn. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions." Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Another time, he went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." Then Jesus asked them, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they remained silent. He looked round at them in anger, and deeply distressed by their stubborn hearts, said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. Amen, and may God add his blessings to these readings of his holy word. We join together again in singing and praise hymn number 702, "Lord in Love and Perfect Wisdom."
Thank you.
The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. Mark chapter 2, verses 27 and 28. The Old Testament laws were given to be a blessing. They were never intended to be an added burden on people whose lives were already heavy laden. Like the commandment of Jesus to his disciples to love God and each other, the laws, such as the Ten Commandments, were meant to liberate people from error and self-harm and to open up broader opportunities for the well-being of God's people. It surely gives grief in heaven when fussy legalism commandeers these laws and makes them into rigid restrictions which lead to a multiplicity of bylaws. It causes grief when human beings are divided into two groups. Those who cling to the letter of the law, self-righteously claiming to dot all their I's and cross all their T's, and those who are despised as the sinners who neglect the letter of the law. The gospel reading for today deals with this issue. The fourth commandment delivered by Moses way back in Exodus chapter 20 declared, "Rest on the Sabbath day, keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your own work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work." The commandment was indeed a blessing. Remember the old saying, "All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy"? Our loving Creator understands that better than we know it ourselves. God knows our needs before we ask him. A day of relaxation in which we can enjoy God's creation and worship our Creator is a blessing. In the olden days of my youth, such a day of relaxation was possible for the vast majority of the population. Families could rest from heavy toil, from all the frenetic business and commerce, and enjoy each other's company. Sunday was available as a day of relaxation. There were exceptions, of course. People like police officers, nurses, doctors were rostered on. Dairy farmers had their habitual milking duties and so on. And ironically, those who purported to foster this day of rest, the ministers and the priests of Christianity, worked flat out on that day of rest. Nowadays, Sunday is, for the majority of citizens, just another day of mad rushing about. Hordes of people have to keep working to keep the wheels of commerce and industry turning. Families are split asunder. Parents run kids to and from sporting activities. On Sunday, many undertake shopping sprees, pushing through crowds of other credit card addicts, or they crash into sporting stadia for another round of barracking, either returning home voiceless but elated, or voiceless and dispirited. Many party through the weekend and wake up Monday morning with a hangover. Numerous people on Monday return to work in a daze, not recreated, but exhausted. The cynical comment, "Never buy a motor car that was assembled on a Monday morning, or Friday afternoon for that fact," has an element of truth to it. God knows we need rest and recreation. The Sabbath commandment was given for the good of the people of Israel, not to be a burden, but a blessing. Jesus observed the spirit of the Sabbath, but not the rigid letter. In today's gospel reading Graham gave to us, we heard two episodes where Jesus and his disciples broke the strict letter of the law, and the many bylaws, no doubt, as it was regulated by the self-anointed righteous men of Israel. In episode 1, Jesus and his friends were out walking on a Sabbath day. And that was a no-no. The Pharisees had laid down strict guidelines as to the number of steps you were permitted to walk on the Sabbath. What's more, the disciples, being hungry as they walked along a track between cornfields, picked some ears of corn and chewed them. That was reaping, working on the Sabbath, according to the legalists. Never mind the unmentioned aspect of theft. When his critics challenged Jesus, demanding an explanation, the Lord first responded with a story about the legendary King David, who, when starving, even ate bread from the altar of God. Then secondly, God made a strong declaration. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. And how that must have outraged those good men of Israel. The second episode is set in a synagogue on a Sabbath day. Man was there with a withered arm, knowing that his legalistic critics were watching his every move. Jesus asked the fellow to come to him. Then he turned to the congregation and asked, is it law-abiding on the Sabbath to do good or harm? To save life or to kill? Giving his legalistic critics an angry stare, he asked the man to stretch out his hand. The astonished man found he could now move his arm. It was healed. Once again, Jesus is matching his words with the deeds. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. In other words, the Ten Commandments that came to Israel via Moses were focused on their benefit, not their harm. They were meant to be a loving guide and help, not an inflexible burden, like signposts on a road, not like a concrete barrier. For Jesus, love of God and love of those around you always defined the law. In fact, love was the one divine value from which the Old Testament commandment stemmed. Jesus was a man of freedom. Even the disciples were slow to cotton on to their liberty. No wonder the opponents of Jesus, those righteous Pharisees, feared this man from Nazareth. Legalists, like those Pharisees, had worked sternly at doing the correct thing. To keep the letter of the law was an exacting task. It demanded that they be meticulous about every moment of every day. They were like ethical and spiritual athletes. No contemporary athlete has worked harder at their training than did those Pharisees. They invested their whole time and energy into being good men. The law was everything to them. It was their very life. So imagine how they felt when along came this young rabbi from a country town and dared to show a liberal attitude to the law. Worse than that, he openly challenged them about their interpretation of it. They couldn't afford him to be right. If he were right, they would have wasted years of stringent self-discipline. Self-made good men and women are still like that. All who justify their own lives by their worthy deeds are fearful of what they see as permissiveness. They've built around themselves walls of rectitude that are as solid and as inflexible as stone. They've invested most heavily in their own righteousness. Their moral bank account is nicely fat. If their brand of goodness is challenged, it's as if their bank balance itself is threatened with devaluation. No wonder their fear soon turned to anger. Jesus must have seemed a threat. To self-made righteous people, he was a loose cannon, a danger to have around. And I've no doubt that Jesus understood the fear and anger that was running wild in the mind and soul of these Pharisees. As the Bible says, Jesus knew what was in a person, but he was not going to let their fear dictate his actions. For Jesus of Nazareth, love was both the ground of religious and moral law and was also the key to applying such law. If ever the letter of the law tried to force itself between him and the spirit of love, he chose the spirit. Of course, that left him exposed, as it leaves all of us exposed. Those who choose the whole truth over shallow assumptions, compassion over judgmentalism, forgiveness over punishment, restoration over retribution. These folk will always be exposed to criticism. Behind those words of Jesus, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath, lives a deep, radical commitment to a loving God. One of the most startling demonstrations of the impact of the freedom of Christ on those who became the original church in that time is the first day of the week soon replaced the Sabbath as the prime day for worship. This was a major blow to the legalistic approach in the Old Testament. The day on which the Lord Jesus arose from the dead. The day when he liberated. And the liberating Christ showed that even death could not hold him. This first day of the week became their special holy day. Not the Sabbath, but the Lord's Day. In later centuries, it would widely become the public day of rest, the holiday which linked creation and redemption into one weekly celebration. Moses had ordered that each week should finish with a day of rest. Those who serve the living Lord Jesus began to start each week with a celebration of the grace of their loving Lord. As I found out firsthand on a trip to the Holy Land some 11 years ago, people still find this act of liberation too much. They choose to continue to obey the old law of Moses and therefore rest and worship on Saturday, their Sabbath. But for me, I'll rejoice in the Lord's Day. I love starting each new week with it. It places me in the context of the whole salvation of God in Jesus Christ. The additional idea of a day of rest and recreation, a time of deliverance from frenetic activity, can surely be embraced within the Lord's Day. It's a gift to be treasured and encouraged, but not an onerous obligation to be dutifully observed. In summary, I've tried to highlight how thoroughly legalists resented Jesus. His words were a shock. They must have shuddered. How could a fellow Jew dare mouth words of such permissiveness? The self-appointed righteous men had invested heavily in rigidly keeping every jot of the Mosaic laws and regulations. They had filled the heaviest backpack of rules of conduct and forced themselves to carry it. Having mastered much of that burden, our Lord's teaching and actions appalled them. They had too much moral and religious capital in their personal account to lose if this young rabbi were to be followed. That's understandable, yet it's grievously sad. They never gave themselves the chance to discover what happiness they would gain if this young preacher were followed. They never permitted themselves to discover the pearl of great price or find that the gospel that was like uncovering a buried treasure was right under their noses. They would not allow Jesus to lift that massive burden off their backs and give them a new outlook on life. Instead, we're told by Mark that they sourly went off to meet with others of our Lord's enemies to discuss how they might have Jesus destroyed. So where do you place yourself? Sweet or sour? Among those who take risks for the sake of the gospel? Or among the anxious legalists and ready to disapprove or attack the risk takers? Do you and I give ourselves a chance to discover the happiness that comes when we truly follow that young man from Nazareth? Not a question for answering just now. Please take them home with you and live with them for a few days. Amen. Let us pray. During our Bible readings today, in Samuel, qualities of trust, obedience, and perseverance arise in the characters. In Mark, we encounter conflict, anger, defiance, and joy. Jesus is not trying to save the planet, but aims to remind religious leaders of the original intent of the Sabbath law, not to enforce piety, but to restore and renew a relationship with God. The Pharisees are faithful, caring people striving to protect their flock from straying. They enforce cherished traditions and practices. Lord, help us to appreciate our own traditions and practices and not blindly pursue these to the detriment of the spiritual life of our community. Amen. Our next hymn, number 509, Jesus Calls Us, O'er the Tumult of Our Life's Wild Restless Sea. Let us dedicate our offering and offer our prayers for others and for ourselves. Let us pray. Father, we dedicate our offerings, whether made today or at other times, not only financial, but also our time and our talents. Take these and use them to your use and glory, as we strive to do your will with you by our side. As we pray for others, we acknowledge that watching the news can be a frightening experience these days. Images of violence, abuse, retaliation, hatred fill our screens. We may have a strong urge to help, but often feel helpless. One thing we can do is persevere in prayers of intercession, lifting up prayers on behalf of others, prayers which have arisen in our hearts. Creator of light, our world needs you. Shine into the hearts of all people, that everyone might know your magnificence. Fill their hearts and minds with the light of your love. Shine into the homes of the abused and controlled. Bring to wholeness those whose lives have been shattered by physical and emotional abuse. Encourage those who are walking through difficult times, assuring them that you have not abandoned them. Shine into the lives of those afflicted by mental or physical illness. Bring to wholeness those who are perplexed and confused. Grant compassion to the carers and families. Shine into communities bombed and terrorized. Transform minds full of hatred, that they may rather crave peace. Heal the hurts of generations, past and future. On this particular day, we offer a prayer for our organist Hannah as she embarks on a period of maternity leave, while she and Ray and their wider families eagerly await the birth of their child. Father God, we lift up this precious pregnancy before you, acknowledging the miracle of life growing within her. We stand in awe of your divine design, knowing that this child is fearfully and wonderfully created by your loving hands. We pray for a healthy and safe journey throughout the pregnancy. Please watch over this little one as they grow and develop, ensuring their well-being and strength. Bless the hands of the medical professionals who are involved in this journey, guiding them with your wisdom and skill. May they be instruments of your healing and care, supporting Hannah, Ray, and their baby every step of the way. O God, you have taught us that we are most truly free when we seek your will, not our own. Help us to gain and enjoy this liberty by daily surrender to your love, so that, trusting in your grace for our freedom, we may walk with those paths with which you choose for us, and learn to love those beauties which partake of that true life, which is richly abundant and joyfully eternal. Through Christ Jesus, our Saviour and Lord. Amen. Some people are easily pleased, recognising it was Hannah's last service for a few months. I asked her to choose some of the hymns, her favourite hymns for today. She only asked for one. But it was to include the amens at the end. So here's our final hymn, an excellent choice, number 130, Ye Servants of God, Your Master Proclaim. Thank you. Just before the benediction, can I say that I've asked Hannah and Ray, if he wishes, to accompany me down to the side door here so you can pass on your good wishes to her for the days, months and years to come. She's aiming to be back beginning of September, and she's lined up a nice array of organists to play over the summer. But if you could hang on to give her a chance just to get down once she's finished the voluntary, that would be most appreciated. Let us go into the world, renewed by God's word. Go empowered to do God's will. Go into God's creation, revitalised by this gathering. Go renewed by this Sabbath worship. Go into our community to do justice with fortitude and faith. And may the grace of the eternal God be with us all, now and forevermore.
Thank you.
take a wee seat for a minute.